Well, it's a film script, truth be told. I didn't write it, and if I ever meet the guy that did, I'm gonna make him wish he hadn't. She crooked a hand underneath her chin, eyes sparkling, as she leaned forward a little, elbow placed firmly on the table. Is it really that bad? Bad? I just got killed by an octopus. Her eyebrows slid upwards at this news. An octopus? How the hell would an octopus back you into a corner? Thank you. Yes. How would that ever happen? Another smile flashed back at me. I bathed again in those eyes as they looked playfully into mine. And then it happened. Click. It just appeared in my mind as it always did. Those eyes could be the undoing of me. They really could. I breathed. Slowly. Let's play a game, Melody. She smiled, warm and embracing. Glowing a little, even. Okay. Hands, please. It was time for my Jedi mind trick, now that I knew her birth date. I don't know how I do it. All I know is that it seems to depend on the connection. Once the connection clicks into place, I see a date. It flares into my mind like a text message, urgent and in need of attention. When I did it for Kylie, she just wrinkled her delicate little nose when she smiled and dismissed it as Google. Although she did pinch my bottom later, when I wasn't looking in revenge. When I did it for Kim, she thought I was a wizard. Helena went white as a sheet and proclaimed, "Holy fuck!" If it's a superpower, it's a strange one, let me tell you. As she laid her hands, palm up on the table, I paused. Left or right, I wonder. I know, sometimes I mutter aloud. But right, always right. I delicately reached forward and circled my fingertip widely, stroking her palm slowly. A firm pressure, so as not to be ticklish, but transmitting the desire that was being felt. Circles, wide, then slowly diminishing to a point. Then widening again, reaching and touching each sensitive fingertip, laboring and lingering between each finger, softly grazing my nail to force the point of my investigation, the sense of a shared privacy. And she knew what I was doing. I could feel her reacting. I could feel her melting. I could sense her eyes widening, knowing they were locked as I played my role of magician. But I kept my gaze rooted to the playful touch. July 27th, I whispered out loud. She snapped back in her seat, hands disappearing into her lap. A look of incredulous confusion settling upon that beautiful face, shining and yet turbulent as she heard those words. How the fuck can you know that? I grinned and met those eyes again. You're a lioness, but on the cusp. July 27th, that's the day. You breathed, confused but happy. How? You garbled. I giggled again. I don't know how, but sometimes I can just see inside your head, Melody. And you smiled and blushed, shifting in your chair, biting that kissable lower lip as you stared down into that coffee cup, that low-cut blouse betraying the quickening of your breath. And that was the moment. The click of a pen as a contract is signed away, complicit agreement appearing in the air, and we both knew it. Both could feel it. Melody? I asked softly. Those eyes, so deep and rusty, truly were gateways to the soul, as I could see your naked feelings slipping from you, torn over something, yet pliable, and full of secret desires, slowly rising to meet mine, as you tilted your head just a little bit. "Yes, Mr. Englishman," you answered so quietly. I paused, grinning as ever, as I knew what I was about to say, how it was going to sound, the question I was really asking, buried in so much cliché it might even get overlooked. "Would you like to come back and read my new manuscript? I'd really like you to be the first one to see it." Never fails. Although this situation was slightly different, as I knew the deal had already been done. I mean, we both did. No longer a question of if, just merely an exploration of how, and then when. "I think I would love that," came the reply that I knew was coming, followed by a warm, gentle smile, and big, wide eyes unblinking, as I could see you relax a little more. That's what acceptance can do to someone. We were strangers, and now we are not. Now we are co-conspirators. And we are indeed going to conspire, you and I. I crunched my shoulders up, eyebrows arched, in a comic expression of panic and excitement. You giggled again, both of us realizing what was going to happen. And we gathered our things, as I slung that film script into a battered leather briefcase, grabbed my coat, and stood up, as you sorted out your bags, checked your phone, and quickly but gracefully climbed into your jacket, allowing me to notice your nipples beginning to make their presence felt through that dark, thin blouse, as you flicked your hair and took a breath. "Ready, Miss Melody?" "Yes, let's go." "I'll follow you." She stepped across the crowded floor as we made our exits, threading through tables, letting me see those heels and denim, swinging her hips, curves and intentions expressed by a woman leading her man away. She was gorgeous, bright and funny, and now completely at my mercy. This was indeed going to be fun. I sidetracked to Tola at the counter, as she watched Melody walk out to the pavement and pause for me, an unusually playful half-smile upon her lips this time. "You did good, Mr. Englishman," she said, oh so gently. I grinned. I couldn't help myself, and took a crisp note from my pocket and handed it over with the worst Humphrey Bogart I could muster. "Buy yourself something pretty, Priage." A little sparkle as she suppressed a reaction. God damn it. I will one day make her snork out loud, whether it kills me or not. But that's for another day. "I will, Mr. Englishman, I will," as she motioned to the door. "But you have a lady waiting." I glanced over to Melody. She hooked a stray hair that had been blown out of place by a lazy, gentle breeze, hooked it back behind her ear, shifting her weight over to the left, comfortable and relaxed. She could sense the gazes were upon her, and glanced behind, and smiled. "I know, Tola. I know," I said very, very quietly under my breath. But I snapped out of that moment and turned to Tola again. "Stay being the sexiest barista in London, you unquenchable beast, and I will return," I announced, with a bow of the head and a smile. "You always come back, Mr. Englishman. We all know that. We'll see you soon." I waved a lazy hand in parting, as I strode onto the street, all cars and horns and bustle, sidling up to my waiting conspirator. "Okay, Miss Melody, let's call a cab, and then we'll hear you sing." I grabbed a hand, sliding my fingers between hers, and squeezing tightly, led her to the curbside. "Taxi!" I bellowed, in, well, I think it was a Cockney accent. Looking around with my hand in the air, summoning a carriage in black from out of thin air. Diesel engine thrumming, a cabbie pulled over in front of us, sank the window down with a button, leaned over and asked, "Yes, Gov, where to?" "The Porchester," and take your time. No problem, sir. I know. Just listen. I opened the door, and she stepped inside and onto the capacious back seat, settling comfortably and adjusting her coat, shifting her bags and sighing a little, and I followed, settling into the corner next to her, pulling the door behind me and stretching my free arm across the backrests, leather case lying on the floor. She gently inched closer, ending up leaning against my neck, a gentle hand reaching across and stroking my chest, fingers slipping between the buttons of my shirt to feel the hair of my chest, all soft and warm. I turned my head and kissed her hair, breathing in wafts of perfume and faint shampoo as I heard the faintest of sighs escape as you twisted open a button and slipped inside, palm running circles across my nipple, feeling it wake up. Such a soft and beckoning touch. You could feel my heart beating and my chest moving as breath became quickened. I growled so softly and reached into your hair, fingertips slowly pressing and circling till settling into the groove behind your ear, running a fingertip back and forth, rolling your earlobe between my fingers firmly, gently, slowly. Melody, I murmured. Yes, Mr. Englishman, as you tilted your head to look to me. Can you feel my heartbeat? Yes. Do you know why it's so fast? Yes, Mr. Englishman. A little giggly, you added, I like to make your heartbeat faster. I looked into those fucking eyes, leaned in, and planted the softest, slowest kiss upon those shining lips that I possibly could, reaching my other hand across her, cupping the back of her head firmly, feeling her melt and kiss me back strongly, with fingers clenching against my chest, tightening through the hair. My heart beat a little faster, and I growled again, letting my desire kiss harder, circling and opening my mouth as I greedily pressed against her, fires teasing now as she broke and arched her head backwards, letting me tug her head as I eagerly pressed against her soft pale neck, wanting to be a vampire, wanting to bite down hard. Oh, fuck. I heard, as you could feel me wanting so desperately. But you were so comfortable here. You knew this was just colors mixing in water, a first foray into discovery, finding and enjoying the notion of conspirators relenting, roving, and just happy to explore. Oh, the joy of having a woman stretch and bare their neck, inviting and utterly adamant at how much they want it to be examined. Moans so soft that I began to think I was merely imagining them, breathing from you as I kissed and nuzzled your neck, trembles at my touch issuing as your hand left my chest and slipped into my hair, holding me tightly as I took your earlobe and imagined that my mouth was elsewhere. This is how gently I'm gonna suck and tease you, how hard I'm going to pleasure you, how randomly you won't know what my tongue is going to do next, to fuck you, Melody. And the blissful thing? You already know this. When you uncross your legs to fold yourself tighter to me, to be closer, I know you're pointing your toes already. I can feel it. And I know you're imagining such things as I was too. I slipped my hand to your knee and squeezed before slowly sliding along that denim as I feel you shift yourself again, opening wider as I kiss you harder, biting so gently upon that lower lip, feathering my touch as my hand reaches its destination, feeling you tense at the first aching pressure. I can feel how aroused you are. I can feel how warm you are. And you tense a little, feeling the tingles of a stranger touching you, imagining what if that denim wasn't there. And then that kiss from you happened, one of my hands pressing your cunt, one in your hair. Such abandonment as you simply and greedily ate me, pouring such passion into that moment, eagerly reciprocating a desire from one mind to the other, wanting me to know as you giddily transmit. Such a pivotal moment, and I kissed you so gently back, knowing you would feel the gentle response, knowing that I knew what you were telling me, on the back seat of a London taxi, as it lurched to a stop. "The Porchester, sir. Honeymoon suite?" barked the cabbie, as he pulled to the curb, jolting us apart, breathing and hungry. I grinned and turned to the driver. "Honeymoon? Christ! You should have been there. One of the fire jugglers nearly set fire to Bill Clinton." "Oh no!" "The dog ate half the cake, and one of the bridesmaids got caught fellating my married brother-in-law. I'm astonished we made it to London alive." I could feel you bury your head into my neck, laughing at such a possible thing. I grabbed our bags and bowled out of the cab, turning and theatrically holding out a hand. "Dear lady wife?" "Why, thank you, dear husband," you purred, as you took my hand and daintily stepped down. I reached in through the window with another crisp note and grinned to the driver. "Buy yourself something actually, that doesn't really work, does it?" He smiled a little and tilted his head towards Melody. "You lucky sod," he said quietly, with the biggest of grins.
"I know."
"Have a good'un," he said, shaking his head a little as he turned the wheel, and I took a step back as he left, with another story to tell the other cabbies over a cup of tea. I grabbed your hand with another giggle, and we sauntered across the plush lobby, all glittering marble, geometric lines, and understated opulence. You looked left and right, drinking in the quiet serenity, and muttered, "Wow, my mum would love this. So many older men in sharp suits." I leaned in and whispered, "The fun starts, trying to decide who's a banker, who's into oil, and who's just had someone killed." You giggled and let go my hand to reach down and squeeze me sharply from behind. "Stop making me laugh, Mr. Englishman," you said softly,